Before I pray, while you are reflecting, before I pray, there's a couple things I want you to sit and think about before I get started. Number one, tonight we are talking about trusting Jesus. Close your eyes and bow your head. It's time for you to think about what I'm saying, okay? That's how this works. Tonight we are talking about trusting Jesus, and we're going to talk about the gospel, which is the center of what it means to be a Christian. The gospel is very important to us, but that begs the question of what is the gospel? That is my first question that we're going to answer tonight. What is the gospel? Because I know some of you, I'm not sure, can answer that. And that's okay. We're going to do that together. The next question that I want you to ask yourself as you're sitting there quietly with your heads bowed and your eyes closed is this. Do I trust God? That's the question I want you to ask yourself. And ask it in the form of a question. Do I trust God? Father in heaven, thank you for that you would give us this opportunity to learn about your Son, that you would bring us here, you'd bring us into this room, and we need your help to change. We need your help to awaken our hearts to the good news of your Son, Jesus. And God, we need your help in us trusting you. And God, I ask that tonight in our small groups that you would take our students from where they are to one step closer to where you want them to be. And God, we need your help and we need you in this, and it's in Jesus' name I pray. Amen. All right. That doesn't mean that you start talking. Sit down, please. This is how this works, guys. And for you older students, I expect that you know what large group is like, okay? Typically on a weekly basis, I'm going to go off script right now. On a weekly basis, for those of you who don't know, we're going to just like this, we'll do an activity, then I'm going to pray, read scripture, and then we're going to teach a little bit about the Bible, and then you're going to go to small groups and talk about the Bible, okay? So when I'm done praying, we're not going to keep talking, okay? Until I dismiss you to small groups. Okay? That's how this works. All right, tonight we're talking about trusting in Jesus. And really what we're talking about is trusting in the gospel of Jesus, as I said already. And the gospel is good news that Jesus has done something for us that we can't do. Many of us know this, okay? And the question I ask you is, do I trust God? The same question applies, do I trust Jesus? And before we get there, there's something about trust that we all have in common. And that our trust on earth, our trust as humans, is fragile. It's weak. Okay? Think of a giant crystal clear glass vase full of water, okay? Things that hold flowers. Just think of a ginormous one, right? And I'm holding it, okay? And I have to take it from here to across the room. And the glass is like super thin, like paper thin. And that if I press too hard, if I drop it, it's going to break. I have a five-year-old, and a couple years ago when she was about three, as she is growing up and getting older, she wanted a glass. She didn't want the like plastic Disney Sesame Street glass with water. She wanted a full adult size glass of water. And she'd grab it, like, just again, imagine like me with a 5-gallon pail. Like, that's what it's like to a 3-year-old trying to bring her glass of water to the table. And like the amount of anxiety that I felt for her was high, because I'm watching her carry this and like it's sloshing out the side. And I am convinced that she is gonna drop it. And she never did. She never once dropped it. But that was my fear, is that she was gonna drop that glass. And what happens? When it drops, it breaks. But here's the thing about trust, is it's not just that the glass breaks, but now there's shards of glass everywhere. Whatever was in the glass goes everywhere. And there's a danger to whoever's in the room because of the sharp glass that's on the ground. This is like our trust, because our trust is not, we don't give it easily and we don't gain it quickly. If we've lost trust, it's not something that I can just glue that glass back together in a few minutes and I'll be drinking out of it by dinner time, right? Thank you for your comments. You can tell me those after. Our trust is fragile and it's weak. Just like I know some of you experienced in middle school, something called social media that you all have, right? So before social media, I had something called AOL Instant Messenger. We had it on computers, which are like the big blocky things with keyboards, okay? There was a situation, I don't remember the details of this, of what happened, but I know that you can identify with me because I was on AOL, I was on Instant Messenger, and you know, everyone in middle school has each other's information because this is brand new technology at the time. And there was something about me specifically that got out to other kids that as we were talking over Instant Messenger the night before school, okay? I don't remember the details, but I vividly remember how I felt. I was betrayed in some way on the 20th century version of social media. Information about me was shared, and I remember it being incredibly embarrassing and awkward. I went to bed that night. My heart sank. Okay, it's like the power tower or the wild thing. You know when you drop 400 feet and your like stomach sinks? Okay, it's like that, but you're not on a roller coaster. It just happens because you're mortified that other people know this about you. I didn't sleep. I wake up. I choke down whatever food I could find. I go to school, and I'm just terrified. All I would rather do is run and bury my head in my face than face into the embarrassment of what happened the night before. That is the world that we live in when it comes to trusting other people and other people trusting us. Similarly, there's something related to is we like to talk about honesty, and really all honesty is a mask for us to get to say mean things about other people because I'm just being honest, right? We've all been a victim of honesty at some point. But we don't, and especially now with social media, you guys are armed with the ability to type this out, to type hurtful and mean things out without seeing the emotional bloodshed that's caused. You don't actually get to see the glass break. You don't get to see the water exposed for everybody to see. You get to say it and shut your phone off. Who are you in that situation? Have you experienced that? Have you received that? Have you been the one to do that? That is a picture of what trust looks like in our world. And yet, the Bible tells us, and this is one of our passages tonight. It'll be up on the screen and I'm going to read it. The Bible says, "Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Do not lean on your own understanding, but in all your ways acknowledge Him, and He will make your paths straight." This is one of our favorite passages to memorize. It's one of my favorite passages. It was my first passage that I ever memorized in the Bible. But here's the tension I want you to see, that without Jesus, without somebody fixing this, there is everything about our human experience condemns us to our lack of trust in this passage. Here's what I mean by that. How can I be surrounded by a lack of trust in my friends, in my family, in myself, but yet the Bible so confidently says you need to trust in the Lord? We say that a lot to one another. We hear that a lot, trust in God. Without Jesus, this passage condemns us to our lack of trust, and our trust fails in some of our most crucial times, when things get hard, when we lose control. passages like this one, they fight against our experiences. We don't know what real trust looks like. And frankly, here's the other thing, and I know you've heard this as well, in that we live in a culture that says, don't trust other people to achieve your dreams. Okay? It might sound like this. It might sound like, if you want it done right, finish my sentence. Do it yourself. Right? Or you can do whatever you set your mind to. In the negative, that's what that's saying is, whatever you want to do, don't let anybody else stop you. You need to be independent on your own, and you can achieve it. If our grades start to slip, what do? We work harder, or some of us don't care. But if other kids say something or care about how you look, what do? We change our clothes, we buy new clothes, we change our hair, maybe we just change our style totally. We try and take even cooler Instagram photos. What we end up trusting, this is what our human experience tells us to do, we end up trusting the things that we know will make us happy. Our phones, television, our friends, whatever experience that you want to do. And here's the gospel. Is that when we couldn't trust God, Jesus did it for us. When we couldn't trust God, it says, trust in the Lord always. I can't do that. I cannot. I fall short every time when I read that passage. But when we couldn't do it, Jesus did it for us. Here's a story in the book of Matthew about Jesus in the garden. He is on his way. I'm not going to read this passage in full, but he is on his way. He's hours from being crucified. He's in Jerusalem. He goes to the Garden of Gethsemane with his disciples. Some of them he has sit outside the gate, and he brings a couple in. And he says to his disciples, sit here while I go over there and pray. He took Peter and the two sons of Zebedee along with him, and he began to be sorrowful and troubled. Then he said to them, my soul is overwhelmed with sorrow to the point of death. Stay here and keep watch with me. Okay? He goes into the garden, and he becomes, what does he say? My soul is overwhelmed with sorrow to the point of death. What is that? That's depression. That's anxiety. Jesus is being crushed in his soul by what he is about to go through. And what he does is he goes and prays. He goes a little farther and he prays this, my Father, if it is possible, may this cup be taken from me, yet not as I will, but as you will. I'm not going to explain the cup illustration, but what he's saying is that, God, if I don't have to go to the cross to make your plan work, please change this. If I don't have to do this, don't make me do this, but your will be done. I trust you, God, and I will do it. That's what he's saying. He comes back, the disciples have fallen asleep, and he's like, can you not stay awake for 1 hour while I pray? I mean, so this is one of the hardest moments that Jesus goes through. The writer Luke, in his gospel, tells us that he was so overwhelmed that blood vessels broke, that he sweated blood. That's how much pressure he was under. In this passage in Matthew, Jesus goes, he kind of like corrects his disciples. He says, wake up, what are you doing? You need to pray. He goes back and he prays the same thing. God, if I don't have to do this, please, but your will be done. And he goes back and they're sleeping again. He wakes them up and in this time he goes for a third time and he prays the same thing. At the end he comes back and he returns to the disciples and he says, are you still sleeping and resting? Look, the hour is near and the Son of Man is delivered into the hands of sinners. Rise, let us go. Here comes my betrayer. Jesus has experienced it all. In this story, he has the greatest amount of depression and anxiety, I'll argue, known to man. He carries the weight of the world on his shoulders. His best friends betray him. Judas, who he just literally ate dinner with and has been his friend for years. His other disciples, who can't even stay awake to pray with him. And very soon after, and he knows this, very soon after, Peter will deny him three times. You know this story. But Jesus, in those moments when he is praying with God, he fulfills Proverbs chapter 3 for us. In the midst of betrayal, denial, sorrow, he still trusts God. This is the good news refuge. This is the gospel, in that, again, when we couldn't do it, Jesus did it. Under the most critical circumstances possible, whatever you're facing, Jesus has faced it as well. And in that moment when we break and we can't trust, Jesus did it. Pastor in New York, I really like how he says this. The gospel is good news. It's not good advice, right? What's good advice? Good advice is you should eat breakfast before you go to school. That's good advice. Good news is when you show up at the bottom of the steps and there is a feast of French toast and like a mountain of bacon, candied bacon, and pancakes, and egg bake, and whatever, like, and you've done nothing. There's nothing that you have to do. That is good news when you show up and you just, and it just says, eat and enjoy and be ready for school. Good news, right? Good news is when you get out of the shower and you get your backpack and it goes across the screen on the news, school is canceled today. That's good news. That's not good advice. That's good news. Don't let me lose you. We're almost done. When Jesus went to the cross, he took all of our distrust, all of that distrust, all of our shame, all of our sorrow, all of our betrayal, all of our denial. He brought all of it to the foot of the cross. He died and then he rose again. And he took that all on him. Only when we see that Jesus has done our trusting for us do we get to experience the joy of the gospel. I was at Dun Brothers the other day studying, and there was this little boy who ran up to the window. As I was sitting there, this dump truck comes up, and I was watching it first. And I'm just watching it do its thing, its articulated arm and all this stuff. And this little boy, just this beautiful little boy, sandy blonde hair, he's got this little like dinosaur action figure. He runs up to the window and he's looking out the window, watching this dump truck. Was it a dump truck? No. Garbage truck. This ugly, nasty, smelly garbage truck. But he's looking at it in awe. I mean, this is like, it's like the first time you've ever seen a sunset. That's how this kid is watching this garbage truck. And what was cool about it is his dad comes over, and just, I have a 2-year-old son. The dad comes over, and just in the way he rubs his head and he kisses him and he says, "I love you." I know the experience that the dad was having, and that I will put as many smelly, nasty garbage trucks in front of you as I possibly ever can to make you feel that joy and experience that. Again and again and again. I will do whatever it takes. I will take you to the airport to watch airplanes. I will get you as close as we can to see and watch you experience that joy again. And that's what our Father does. That is what our God does. He delights in putting the breakfast before you. He delights in the good news of the eternal snow day, in that you can't trust God enough, but Jesus does. Jesus did. He does it for us. He fulfills Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. That is the gospel. And again, the question that I asked in the beginning is, do I trust God? Is that the trust that you have? Is that the trust that we put our faith in, and that we don't have to do anything? Our religion is not good advice, it is good news for today. If this is the first time that you're hearing something like this, or if this is new to you, or you've never heard Jesus explained in this way, I don't want you to leave that here. Don't leave that behind. Don't think like, oh, that was cool and that was an experience, and then go home, okay? I would really like you to bring that to your small group. Talk to your leaders. You're welcome to talk to me. You're welcome to talk to Ben. But whatever you do, don't leave that here in this room if this is new to you. And I want to remind you of something that I said at the beginning of the year, and that's this, that God has, He has brought us all here. I do believe that there's a reason why you are here. And the God who has started a good work in you, He will complete it. He will finish it. And we are here to journey with you in that. So here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to close this in prayer. And after I'm done praying, I'm going to send you off to small groups where you're going to talk about another passage in the Bible that talks about trusting and following Jesus, and your small group leaders will lead you through that. So again, let's bow our heads and close our eyes as I close this in prayer. Father, thank you. Thank you that you have shown us perfect trust. That when we fail, you do it. You complete it. And God, I ask that you would give us the honesty to follow you, that you would give us humility to follow you, and God, that you would give each and every one of us curiosity to know, who is this Jesus that I follow? Who is this God that I believe in? And do I really trust in the work that has been done for me? God, we love you. We thank you, and it's in Jesus' name I pray. Amen.